Who's there? Facial
features. Who's
there? There's no one there yet. Come right now, we're here at Fairbanks Teleconference. That's who I was talking to. Is their office, Mr. Steve Porter, with the AD's office.
He's going to call there to hook in or something?
He's going to call the Fairbanks. He's in Anchorage. He's calling Fairbanks. He's looking to do.
How special committee on oil and gas will please come to order.
Tell us some good entertainment.
Members present are Representative Szymanski, Representative Sun, Representative Frischel, and myself. Time is 4:15. We have up today House Bill 559, and there were some questions that were brought up at the last committee meeting regarding contracts, similarity between this contract and other contracts, a side-by-side, Representative Sun, that you requested, and it should be in your packet, along with some other material. Is there anyone to testify on House Bill 559? Kate, maybe you want to just join us in.
He didn't ask to testify.
I know, but I just volunteered here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just briefly call your attention to these two sheets entitled Royalty In-Kind Contract Terms. Shall I repeat that?
Go ahead. It's just Steve.
Is Steve Porter on?
Not yet. He hung up and is dialing back in a few minutes.
I've not heard Mr. Porter join us yet.
Okay, well, then everybody heard it because he. There's one sheet that deals with all the negotiated contracts, and you'd see that in the top left corner. Negotiated contracts, and that's the list then of all the existing and as well as the pending negotiated contracts. The other sheet is the list of all the competitive contracts, and you can see from comparing those that they do have different provisions, and that within the negotiated contracts there are a number of different provisions depending on when the contract was negotiated and what specific terms were agreed to at that time. I'd also note for the committee's benefit that we did go back at your suggestion and rethink the potential revenue impact, and we have provided a revised fiscal note that does show a total over the life of the contract increase in revenue to the state of $7.5 million. Those are nominal dollars, not inflation-adjusted dollars. And that material is also in your packet, I believe.
Was that put in the packet, Jonathan? Is it in there?
Just placed on top of the packet.
No, this one. Okay, thank you.
So, unless there are no questions, I have no further comments.
Mr. Chairman? Representative Frischel.
Kate, is someone on the line yet?
Steve Porter's on the line.
This is great having a fiscal note. I think it is probably the first time we've had a fiscal note. I assume this just represents the premium above the in value.
That's correct.
And the premium, again, was 30 cents?
The PetroStar premium is 35 cents, and the Chevron premium is 50.
Thank you.
Let the record show that Representative Marco Fignalberry was here today. Tried to put a picture of Ramon in there, but it didn't fit. Thanks. Oh, excuse me. Any other questions of the witness?
I have an unrelated question.
Go right ahead.
I could, as long as the witness is here. What's just a rumor floating down the hallway, I guess, Kay, that Tesoro is going to denominate some of their oil? Are they given notice to denominate? If that's true, could you give us any reason why they would do that?
Yes, Representative Sun, the rumor is true. Tesoro contacted us several weeks ago and indicated that they were having difficulty disposing or selling their residual oil because of the surplus in the world market. And we have, at their direction, denominated 26,000 barrels per day as of last week. So the contract provides that they are entitled to do that with 9 months' notice. The commissioner agreed to waive 3 of those months and to make the denomination on a 6-month basis on the condition that they pay the premium foregone for those extra 3 months. And so that action has been taken.
So what's the impact to the state? I mean, if you had a fiscal note like you've given here, does that fiscal note then go, I presume there's a premium in that sale, 35 cents a barrel.
Right.
That premium disappears?
Yes, the premium would disappear once the oil gets back in value. And under the contract, there is a reservation fee, and I've not had these documents out or looked at them, but my understanding is that the reservation fee is intended to keep open their option to renominate the barrels. So in terms of calculating the impact, I think we wouldn't know how long that denomination would be in effect, and with their payment of the reservation fee, that would be some offset against the lost premium. So it wouldn't be just a straight 35 cents that you would lose during the time that they are not taking. There would be the reservation fee, and then they would have the option to renominate and regain those barrels.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I continue, their option to renominate continues for the life of their royalty contract, which is what, is it a 10-year? I guess I could look down here.
It's the third contract listed. So it expires in 1995.
So they basically don't have to. They could just say, we don't want to take any of that oil till 1990 and come in and renominate it.
Steve, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Kay.
Have you looked at that question, and do you have any comment on that? That's my understanding, Representative Sun, but I would defer to Steve Porter, as I think he might have looked at this today.
Thank you, Kay. This is Steve Porter from Anchorage, the Attorney General's office. The performance guarantee and reservation fee that Director Brown has mentioned is provided in Section 2.10 of the Tesoro contract. It calls for a 0.75% of the purchase price reservation fee for so long as Tesoro takes less than the maximum quantity under the contract. At approximately $17 a barrel, that reservation fee would be about 12¾ cents per barrel. So the shortfall in revenue would be the difference between the 35 cents a barrel premium and the about 13 cent reservation fee. The contract in Section 2.1 gives Tesoro 2 different rights as far as the quantity of oil under the contract. One is to give 9 months notice to decrease the amount of tenders, which is the amount we actually deliver. And if they do that, they are subject to this about 13 cent reservation fee. Another right that they have under the contract, also in Section 2.1, is a permanent decrease in the maximum quantity, also on 9 months' notice. So in other words, Tesoro can tell us, we'd like to permanently decrease the maximum quantity. That's irrevocable. It calls for no penalty, because then the clear title to the oil goes back to the state. Or they can exercise the 9 months notice that they have to decrease the amount of tenders, but keep the maximum contract quantity at the full volume. And the only penalty there, again, is the reservation fee, which is running about 13 cents a barrel. And that could continue unabated for the life of the contract.
Chairman, if I could follow up that. They can, if they permanently denominate it, then that reservation fee disappears. Is that correct?
Yes. So, in the contract, the reservation fee is defined in terms of the difference between the maximum quantity the contract provides and the actual amount of oil Tesoro is taking. So if they decrease the maximum quantity, which again is permanent, they don't have to pay a reservation fee.
So I assume that's similar to the Article 2.1 in the PetroStar contract?
Yes. I'm not sure. I think the performance guarantee in the PetroStar contract has a different section number. It's 2.15 also in the PetroStar contract, and Article 2.1 in the PetroStar contract gives both Chevron and PetroStar similar options with regard to reducing their quantity.
So, in effect, if I read it right, we guaranteed them a supply of oil at a premium, but if they ever go out on the market and find it cheaper, they can cut the state off and go with whomever else they want. So they're in the market all the time looking for a better deal, and if they find it, they take it and denominate the state's oil, and if they don't find it, they just take on the state. Is that about how it works?
Well, it doesn't give them all that much flexibility in that the contract does require 9 months' notice for the increase or decrease temporarily in the volume. So it's, in terms of responding to market conditions, they're already saddled with a nine-month lag, and then once they want the oil back, they have a nine-month lead time for that notice, and then they are also paying the 13-cent a barrel reservation fee. So it isn't completely flexible for them, but it is an option that they have.
Yeah. I assume Tesoro isn't shutting the refinery down. Do you have an indication of that, or are they just using somebody else's oil?
Kay, would you like me to respond to that one?
Sure. If you know, I'm not aware.
I believe the intent of Tesoro is to purchase Cook Inlet crude, which results in less residual oil. I think their problem is they're making too much resid now from the ANS crude.
Thank you.
Can I follow up on that?
I'm going to let the record show that Representative Andre Maru has now joined us. Marco, go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, the denomination was requested when?
Initially, I'm not sure of the exact date. It's been several weeks. There was a exchange of telexes on February 18th, and I believe that the denomination was effective February 19th.
Okay, Tesoro has two contracts, one in which they pay a premium. The older contract, I don't think they do pay a premium, do they?
That's right. You can see those on your sheet labeled negotiated contracts. And as you said, their newest contract for $26,000 does have a premium. Their previous contract for $46,000 does not. And it is under their new contract that they have made the denomination.
Okay, so they are denominating the oil that they would pay us a premium under. Is there language in the contract where you or the state gets to determine which oil has to be denominated first?
I don't believe so. I'm not aware. I would ask Steve if he has any.
I'm sorry, Kay, the connection cut out in the middle of that question.
Steve, we were asking whether or not there is language in the contracts that allows the state to determine which oil under which contract should be denominated first.
No, there is no such language.
Okay, thanks. My only comment would be that if this happened a few weeks ago, this is the kind of thing that I think surely I and I believe other members of this committee and members of the legislature are very interested in. I found out about this by rumor today also. I just wonder why the department isn't a little more forthcoming in apprising us of real unusual developments with regard to these royalty oil contracts. As far as I know, this is the first time that any purchaser of in-state royalty on a long-term contractual basis has ever denominated oil, and it would be helpful for all of us to be familiar with what occurs and how the contractual provisions that we've approved in the contract, how they really work. And so I'm a little concerned that the department doesn't think that this is a worthy enough event to bring to our attention.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was a very brief time ago. We have certainly not tried to keep it a secret. We, in fact, have scheduled a Royalty Board briefing for March 12, and we did note this as one of the items to be discussed at that meeting. That notice would be appearing. There was, no particular reason. Just we'll be happy to keep you advised in the future. But
the last question I'd have is if you would provide us with the revenue impact to the state of what the denomination means over whatever period of months you you probably have to take a range because I'm sure they haven't told you when they're going to renominate. So let's say over a 3-6 month period or a year, what does it mean to the state in terms of revenue loss?
We can calculate that and provide that.
Chairman, I'd just like to, I could follow up on that, because there's a similar tax provision in the PetroStar contract, and I'm trying to stay into that, but this other one shows the example of what can happen. But if all of the decision-making is in the contractor's side, in this case DeSoro's side, to decide when to renominate, we could conceivably be here for 9 more years with this oil held in suspension that they bid on. We negotiated a price at a premium for them, of which they kind of cut the premium in half by denominating but not giving it up, and we can do nothing with it. I don't know. I guess I'd like to ask what your options are with this oil. Could you put this same oil out on a competitive bid? Could you commit to another long-term contract with somebody else? How much notice is involved in renominating it?
And as a practical matter, I think it would be difficult to put it out on a short-term bid as long as, unless there were enough other surplus oil that should Tesoro call for those barrels to be renominated, that we could assure that we'd have the oil available to do that. We would have the same constraints to nominate and get it into another purchase contract that we have required of them, which would be the minimum 6 months. So I don't know, do you have any other comments on that, Steve, as to what other options we would have?
I think the only comment I would make is that so long as the state is leaving some of its other oil in value, one way to look at this is we're making approximately 13 cents a barrel as opposed to the in-value alternative. And so long as other oil is in value, we don't need this right at the moment to sell to someone else.
Hey, Steve, Samansky.
Uh-huh.
I'll follow back up where Kay was at. I'm not too sure why you couldn't do a short-term contract on this if you made the conditions parallel to what the conditions were by which it would track with Tesoro's renomination.
That's true. The contract requires Tesoro to give us 9 months' notice before we're obligated to give the denominated portion back. So anything that didn't encumber the oil for more than 9 months and a day could be done. Again, if we're in the situation where we will be after April 1, where a substantial quantity of oil is left in value, I think a good way to look at it is that we are making 13 cents by letting Tesoro keep an option on.
But let me say, I don't know if it's possible. Let's say you went out to a short term, locked it into a 9 month, which was sliding continually. In other words, the guy would always be guaranteed his 9 month supply. And when I say sliding continually, the only time it would terminate is when the Tesoro took their nomination, and you picked up a 15 cent, 20 cent premium. I don't know what the premium would be, but maybe more than that. You're getting 13 cents plus the other premium. I mean, that's pretty simple business to me.
By sliding, do you mean it would go?
You just continually let the contract slide. When I say slide, then you'd have a 9 month contract, and the termination date would slide continually, and the only time it would trigger into effect potentially would be is when Sahio Christian, Arco, let me go back to one more of them, went to Tesoro. Made their nomination, and then at that date it would fix the termination date. But other than that, you just continue to let it slide. I mean, I don't know. It seems to me that that's possible, and that way you could let it slide all 9 years if it had to.
Well, we do have the provision requiring us to get legislative approval for contracts longer than a year. It's, you know, we can do them for a year or less to relieve storage and market conditions. So it could slide a little bit, but it couldn't slide beyond a year without getting legislative approval.
In essence, what you'd have is an open-ended contract. But I don't know. It's something to it's food for thought. I guess I'd like to have you guys think about that with regard to what we could do with that, 26,000 barrels
I mean, if there's a way that we could put it out, and, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained, I see a refiner sitting behind you, and I don't know what his reaction would be or what his position would be, but it'd be interesting to see what would happen if you threw it out on the table. And because, obviously, the upline refiners don't have the residual problem. I mean, all of a sudden, they got a market for their resid. It goes right back into the line.
We'll give it some thought, Representative.
I knew there was going to be a manage to have something up line when they said they didn't know what it was.
Representative Miller, you're certainly welcome to join us here at the table. Well, I guess I have some questions, too, on this, and maybe on provision of the contract, at least to Soros' contract, and maybe it's something we could spend a little bit more time on, but it does seem to be a provision there that is certainly a benefit to Tesoro and a much less of a guarantee, I guess, or except it's 13 cents above in value to the state of Alaska, but it does seem to be something that it's more of a guarantee than a plus for the state of Alaska. But is there any further questions of the witness?
Not really a question, as much maybe a response to the Representative Muldoon. When we get the weather, I get weathered out on Monday. I ran into Tesoro on their way down here to spend time talking with the legislature, and they didn't get a chance to get down here. They had briefed me on it at the airport, but, you know, many of us spent many hours sitting at the airport waiting to get in down here. What day did you guys officially have it happen, and when did you know that this went into effect?
I believe it was February 18th is when the exchange of telexes, when we confirmed with him that we would do the denomination.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just ask a question. Looking over this chart, okay, in terms of all the contracts that you or the department negotiated, from the state's point of view, which is the best one?
PetroStar. Like your last baby. I mean, which one's your best baby, right?
Say all of them, okay?
It's all of them.
Yeah, there are a lot of similarities. If you're just measuring it on the basis of the premium, the Chevron premium under the PetroStar contract is the highest premium paid under the negotiated contracts. So that would be one measure of what's best.
Mr. Chairman?
Well, I just want to comment. I guess this denomination thing has really kind of got me thrown, because you put a price reopener provision in the PetroStar one and then the Chevron one, but basically this denomination is an ongoing price reopener issue, right? Anytime you want to lower the price you accrued, you just denominate it. So one side has the authority to lower the price by, in this case, 22 cents.
But unless you can capitalize on it by doing it.
Well, the only reason they would do it is if they can capitalize on it. So.
But if we can capitalize on it, pick up 13 cents plus, resell it, I mean,
I guess it's maybe an unfair question. It looks to me from the chart and the side-by-side comparisons that this last one, the PetroStar contract, has the... It seems to incorporate all the variations on the theme a little bit better than the rest of them have. Much better than the MAPCO GVA contract, I'll say. That's for the benefit of our representative from North Pole sitting here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out to the representative from Ketchikan that to the extent we have pre-existing refineries in the state and they've already secured their market niche, it's tougher and tougher and tougher for a new refinery to come online and be a successful business enterprise. And when I see the state being more stringent in the contract provisions with the smaller latecomer refineries, I wonder if we're really helping development out or whether we're squelching development. I'm not so sure that I would consider the PetroStar contractual provisions to be in the state's best interest. But I'm just glad that they were able to put the project together anyway. Now, is your plan to move this out today, Mr. Chairman?
That's the intention.
If I could follow up, I would just make a note that PetroStar is paying more, selling it for less, and that if the representative, other Miller of the House, would do what the Miller and down here's do, he could put a hotline on it and give them a little hand in some marketing up there. Maybe we could get some better prices in the PetroStar market area.
Let's move the bill and then I'll let that.
Ready to move?
No. We also have Steve to testify. Thank you very much, Kay, for your testimony.
I just moved the bill.
Steve wants to testify. He signed up to testify. You're certainly welcome to.
If he moves the bill, I feel he'd rather sit down.
Unless you have some questions.
No. I just have one question, and I don't know where it is, and perhaps it's a question of Steve, and it has to do I think I'm just going to hold off on my question, and it doesn't have anything to do with moving this legislation, so I'll talk to you later about it, okay? Any further discussion on the legislation?
Chairman, I'd move House Bill 559 with individual recommendations. And the fiscal note?
Revised fiscal note.
Is there any objections to the motion we move 559 with individual recommendations?
Can I just take a minute to look at that revised fiscal note?
Is it a revised or is it the last one?
It's revised. Have one fiscal note.
It's revised. No, they came out with a new one. They degraded it. I call degraded, lower graded, higher graded, lost money.
There's no objection to moving the bill out with individual recommendations, so ordered. Any further business to come before the committee? Representative Szymanski?
Well, just for discussion purposes, Mr. Chairman, since we're getting out of here so early today, I hate to see us break our record getting out of here before 5. But I just wanted to tell you that I have been talking to Kay about this residual thing, and one of the concerns that I had is if the market stays as depressed as it is, what effect it's going to have on our in-state refiners. Plus, one side angle to it that I asked her to look into is dealing with the Cook Inlet export because of the low quantity, 4,000 barrels a day, and it's almost possible to figure out what you're going to do with 4,000 barrels a day with regard to storage of it and so forth. I asked her to take a look at whether or not it would be possible to market the resid, whether the state takes the resid or whether or not somebody else does it, but wrap the resid back into the Cook Inlet exporting to Japan, because it's the only way I can think of to get ANS out of Alaska to another country, and if potentially resid can be marketed
as a manufactured
product, which my understanding was at one time that Tesoro had testified that they had moved resid to Indonesia and several other places. So if it's at all possible, we may be able to move from 4,000 Cook Inlet crude to potentially shipping the other. But then at first blush, you have to ask yourself, well, if it was going to be all that good to do it for the state, why wouldn't Tesoro do it today rather than, and I don't know, maybe we're in a better political position to do it. But I just wanted to kind of share that with you. Other than that, keep up the good work, Chairman.
Steve, did you have anything that you wanted to share with the committee before we sign you off?
No, just to thank you for allowing me to testify.
You bet. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's no further business to come before the committee, the meeting's adjourned.
Steve Lewis, what would your response be to a short-term contract based on the provisions? Are you in a position to take short-term contracts?
Good idea.